There's something lurking in your small town. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. It's good to see you made it back for another episode. Today I'm going to be sharing some allegedly true and creepy small town horror stories sent in by viewers just like you. As always, if you have a story that you would like to share, whether it's from a small town or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net. or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going on a daily basis. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy and allegedly true small town horror stories. About a year and a half ago in June, my brother and I were driving back from Ely, Nevada to Las Vegas. If you know Nevada, you understand how sparsely populated the state is outside of Reno, Carson City, and Las Vegas. So, we are about an hour or so into the drive when we realized we cannot make it back without falling asleep, as it was already late at night. We agreed to stop at a hotel for the night. We come to a town called King. I have never heard of King, Nevada, nor have I found anything about it since. No matter how much I look up or ask around, it looked like one of those old western movie towns where it is one road with a few little buildings on each side, and about the same size as one of those towns from the movies as well. All there really is of note was a hotel that we stayed at called King Hotel, and a McDonald's. The few other buildings did not seem worth more. We have not seen anyone or any cars while driving in the town. We go into the hotel and see the only person we ever saw in this town, the single clerk at the front desk. We get a room key and go straight to bed. We are awoken by talking outside of our room at what we assume was around 8, because when we woke up, we realized there was no clock in the room. In fact, there is only 2 beds, a toilet, shower, and sink. Not even a dresser or TV. We get outside and get ready to leave. The hotel clerk is not there to check out, so we leave our key at the desk. No one else was inside the hotel or outside. We still have not figured out where the talking came from. We go to the McDonald's to eat. However, it is drive-thru only. We order our McMuffins at the drive-thru, round the corner to pay, and get our food at the next window. We see the bag already sitting there on the shelf outside the window, with the window closed and dark. We get our food and leave without paying. We did not want to stick around anymore. We were honestly getting a bit scared at this point. There was no cell service, nor do we remember ever arriving there. We just remembered suddenly finding ourselves in that town. I was recently reminded of this because a few hours ago I had read green text about similar experiences someone had in Utah. We only saw one person there. It was the hotel attendant. We drove for probably another half an hour before we saw any road signs again. He and I both remember it the same, so I do not think we hallucinated or anything like that. Does anybody have any ideas of what happened in that town? First off, I would like to start by saying that I am not a professional writer by any means, but have always been attracted by everything paranormal. I was not always the bravest person as a kid, but I liked it all even still. I have experienced many things throughout my life, some things that seem like they are from a movie or a book. This time I will be telling you of a more mild and a little less strange thing that happened to me while walking home one night. Before I start, I will give you a little bit of background, so you better understand my story. I was born and raised in a small town in Mexico. Everyone knew everyone, and even though we had cars, we had all mostly walked everywhere. There was crime, but it was exceedingly rare, and nothing violent really ever happened. I am the youngest of 5, and my parents were rarely ever home. This meant I was able to stay up late and go pretty much anywhere I wanted. My hometown is in sort of a valley, with most of the town on one side of the tallest hills. My house was on a block right on the foothills of the steepest hill of my street, directly perpendicular to the two main streets leading up to it. One of these streets was essentially a main road. It was used to go up to a hill which was used for religious traditions. Anyway, this main road was mostly populated by family, with my grandmother on my mom's side of the family living near the middle of the hill. Her house itself was small, but the plot was big and had my aunt's houses scattered around it. This was still quite a long walk from my street, probably 5 minutes of walking. My family was a very typical Mexican family, and would gather at her house pretty much every single night. On one night, I ended up staying way past my usual time with a few cousins. By the time I started heading home, it was well past midnight. There were street lights, but they were very spaced out along the street, which was blocked off by a bunch of trees, making my area very dark. It was creepy, especially for a kid, but the moon was out and it helped ease my nerves just a bit. I began walking downhill toward my house the entire time. I just kept feeling weird, like I was being followed. I did not necessarily feel like I was in danger, I guess, but I felt very uneasy. The entire walk, my heart felt like it was going to jump into my throat. I kept walking down the street, having to look back and around every so often. Eventually, I reached the corner, turned toward my house, and now I was on my street. There has been a house that has been abandoned for an exceptionally long time. It has always given me the creeps, and it was the third house from the corner. I was just about to walk by it. Every time I walked by, I would always walk on the opposite side of the street, which did not even have a sidewalk. I would have walked through that same path that night, but this time it was blocked off by these huge piles of sand and dirt, probably some kind of construction work nearby. That, combined with a huge delivery truck parked on the curb belonging to my neighbors, forced me to walk in the middle of the street. As I approached the house, I had to mentally prepare and give myself the courage to walk in front of it. My heart began racing. I was always scared of the house, but for some reason, that night just seemed so much worse somehow. I forced myself to keep walking, and as I did, I heard someone call me from the direction of the house. I froze, my heart in my mouth, and turned to look, but I did not see anyone or anything. I felt a huge wave of relief wash over me. I began breathing again, and I had been apparently holding my breath. I was about to start walking again when I heard the voice again this time. I turned to look at a boy. He looked to be about my age at the time, maybe a little bit younger. It struck me as odd more than anything to see a kid my age standing right next to me. I did not even think twice about the fact that I could see him perfectly, even though he was standing in the dark. No lights coming from an abandoned house, and even a tree blocking the moon and streetlight. He kept standing there unmoving for a few more moments, not saying a word, just kind of staring at me. The whole time I was trying to process what was going on. He spoke again, asking me to go with him, saying we would play together. I kept trying to speak, but could not seem to form words. It felt like hours went by. The whole time I was frozen in place, just staring at this kid, my racing mind, and now realized he seemed to be glowing. I began to tremble the entire time. I kept trying to move, to scream, but I just couldn't. I couldn't even move to run. I wanted to get away desperately. That kid stood there staring back at me, not moving, not blinking. He spoke one more time before walking a few steps closer to me. He seemed to pass like a shadow or something as he walked. His figure turned dark and then became bright again. As this happened, he called my name, my full name, and then I realized he looked like me somehow. This shook to my core. I jerked back at the sight of this. It was me, but the eyes were all wrong. They looked like they were full of hatred. I regained control of myself. I screamed no at whatever this thing was and ran faster than I ever have before in my entire life. I still have no idea what that thing was. It didn't seem to follow me, and I never saw it again after that. It still scares me to think back to that day. People ask all the time here to try to figure out what it is that they saw, but I honestly kind of don't want to know. Anyway, if you do decide to read this on your channel, thank you so much for your time. So I live in a small town inland of the coast of New South Wales. I say in a town, but the house is situated a few kilometers out of the town. It is the kind of area you can see your neighbors in the distance, but you would really have to be screaming bloody murder for anyone to really hear you. A few more kilometers up the road, and it turns to the solid bush and national park. It is an old dirt road with trees on either side. Quiet, apart from a few dirt bike riders who go there mostly on weekends, and the occasional lost car, four-wheel drive, or person collecting wood. So for me, it was the perfect place to walk my dogs. On the day in question, I was out with my two dogs, a Great Dane and a Husky, and my mom's dog, a Scottie Terrier. My Husky likes to misbehave, so to stop her from taking off into the bush at the smell of a kangaroo, she is on an extender leash. My Dane is loyal to the core, so he is off-leash, and so is the Scottie. She can be a pain and run off, but usually comes back. So this bush road has what it is called fire roads. I believe they were put there as an escape route, just in case if people get stuck in bushfires, but I'm not entirely sure. These little beat-up paths are 20 times tougher than the already rough dirt road I walk along. I was heading back towards home at this stage when suddenly all the dogs freeze up. For a moment, I thought it must have been a kangaroo or a wallaby, and instinctively grabbed my Husky's leash tighter. She always pulled my arm off when she saw or smelt a kangaroo, but they all stood frozen. I could see the fur on my Dane's back standing on end as they stared ahead towards the fire trail that branched off. For a moment, I thought it must have been a person and they were on edge because they had not expected to see someone. But as I took the time to look at what the three of them were staring at, I finally saw it. A brown-colored shadow in a thinner area of trees before the dirt track about 15 meters away. Now, I walk this road nearly daily, so I knew each damn log in this area, and it was not something I had seen before. This was confirmed when the thing suddenly shot off and moved. It was fast. Like, abnormally fast. The kind of speed you would expect for someone on a motorbike. But there was no motor. In fact, despite my straining ears, I could not hear a sound. No cracking of sticks, no rustling of branches. It just took off into the thicker trees after standing there and watching me for a good 10 seconds or so. I was sure I had to be going mad, but as I looked at the dogs, all their heads were turned, staring in the same direction this thing had vanished. It took me another 30 seconds, standing, listening, before I finally managed to move forward towards the spot this thing had been. I had to pass it to get home. As I walked past it, the dogs all acted very strange. My normally brave Husky would not go near the spot, kind of sniffing at it from a distance, then pulling ahead. The Dane did a full circle of the spot, going to the furthest point on the other side of the road to avoid it. His tail was tucked between his legs, and the Scottie followed him, cowering in his shadow. I had never seen them act like this before. Normally, if there was an animal or a scent, they would all barge each other to sniff it, but they wanted nothing to do with this spot. If it were a person, my Dane would normally go into defense mode and stand guard, so I do not think that is what this was. Walking in this area so often, I knew the sounds of kangaroos, wallabies, birds, snakes, even feral deer. But this thing? It moved like it did not touch the ground. Not a sound. Had the dogs not been there and reacted at the same time, I would have thought I was just imagining it or I was insane. but the silence of the bush after. It made me feel not so right. The whole way back, I just felt like I was being watched. I kept looking back over my shoulder, but I kept seeing and hearing nothing. As I left the bushy area, I began to feel more at ease and the dogs began to relax. Honestly, I don't know what I saw that day. There isn't much on Australian paranormal stuff except for yowies and spirits, but this figure was too big for a person. It seemed wide and solid, more like that of a bear on its hind legs. It had a full build, and it seemed very tall. But clearly, there aren't any bears or any animals like that in Australia. So, what did I see? What did my dog see? It must have really spooked them, because I have never seen them act that way, and they have never acted that way again. Then again, I have made sure I have walked with more people more often. While I felt uncomfortable and nervous, I do not know if I was in danger or whatever it was. I mean, it did not attack me, though I felt like it followed me for a while. Either way, I certainly would not ever be going there without my dogs. About 3 years ago, I lived in a small Indiana town. Even as a kid, I always wanted to live there. It is the perfect town. Not too big, but everything is within a few minutes' drive. Groceries, bowling, movies, and bars. The house I rented at the time was on a quiet street that sat at the very bottom of a valley. I never really knew anyone around me other than the neighbors that lived just north of me. After a couple of years of living there, I was sitting on my roof porch one evening when I see this girl that I've never seen before. I could tell that she clearly was not from around there. She was kind of a hippie-looking girl, and you really did not see that in a small town like this. She was walking down the sidewalk with her phone trying to get service. She turned and asked me if I knew of a good spot to get cell service. I told her it was hard because of the way the valley was, and the only way I normally got service was by Wi-Fi calling through my internet provider. She kept walking, and that was the last I had ever seen of her. A few minutes later, the neighbor that lived next door came over to me and asked if I knew who that girl was. I told her no and what happened with the girl asking about the cell phone service. My neighbor then proceeded to tell me that that girl was actually some kind of paranormal investigator from Texas. She and a couple of her friends were paid to come to this town every year by some neighbors a little further up the street. My neighbor began to tell me all these weird stories that came out of the house, and that apparently there was proof of it all. Doors opening and closing on their own, digital clocks changing from numbers to words, and even some recordings of people talking to spirits or ghosts, apparently. Of course, I took this all with a grain of salt. I am always down for a good ghost story, but I'll be honest, I've never really fully believed in them. As far as I knew, the investigators stayed for a few days before they took off back to Texas. I never heard of them finding or discovering anything, really. A couple of weeks went by and I forgot all about this. I was working the night shift at the time at a state prison not far from Indianapolis. I would come home every day at about 7 a.m., take a shower, and go right to bed. Suddenly, I started having very vivid dreams, paranormal types of dreams. Usually something was chasing me or attacking me, but I could never quite see them. I would eventually scare myself awake, sit up in bed until I calmed down for a little bit, and then I would go back to sleep until it was time to get back up and ready for work. This happened for a few weeks and I did not think anything of it other than just having some nightmares. Then the sleep paralysis started. I always had my phone sitting up in a way that I could just roll over and be able to see the time on the always-on display. I would begin having these same nightmares again, where something would either be chasing me or attacking me or something of the like, but I could not see what it was or where they were coming from. Then I would try to wake up, and I would open my eyes just enough, and I was able to look at my phone, but other than that, I was unable to move. What really freaked me out, though, was that I could see something floating in the corner of my bedroom just above my phone. It did not have a face, but it would just sit there in the corner of the ceiling, looking down at me. I would eventually go back to sleep and wake up and get ready for work when my alarm went off. To be honest, I was kind of enjoying it in a weird way. I always described it to people as going through a haunted house. I am scared to death while it is happening. But after I wake up, I just kind of laugh it off and thought, man, that was wild. This was happening on an almost daily basis. Every day would be the same thing around the same time, anywhere between 10 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. In 2018, I started a new job at a university and moved closer to my job. I got a new two-bedroom apartment, and I've lived there ever since. I have never had these dreams or sleep paralysis since. Could any of that been related to the neighbors that lived up the street from me? When I was 16, me, my dad, and my brother lived in a house where I just recently learned that some really messed up stuff happened. We moved out of that house around 2015, but our landlord, whom we have remained friends with, told us some stories about previous tenants, which have definitely explained what I felt and saw in that house. First of all, this house is in a very small town. One of the tenants was a recluse college student who ended up shooting himself in what was my bedroom. Another tenant was found to be cooking meth in the garage and supposedly attempted to shoot himself when the authorities discovered what he was doing. Several other tenants came and went, but none of them ever stayed for very long. I imagine it was because of the dark energy that I also experienced. The house was built in the 30s sometime, but our landlord didn't buy it until the late 2000s, so who knows how much other stuff actually happened there. But I digress. I remember from the very first time I went in the house, it just didn't feel right. It felt violent. It felt depressed. When I was in there, the air almost felt staticky. Apparently, my dad felt the same way but didn't want to tell me as he thought it would freak me out. I should mention that we did have a working carbon monoxide alarm in the house, so I don't think that is an answer for that. Also, we had a lot of bad luck in there. Nothing seemed to go right. From getting injured all the time to fire starting, everything went wrong. I remember hearing screams from the garage and a constant feeling of someone 7 feet tall following me and looking down onto me. My bedroom, where the suicide occurred, is where I felt the most depressed and had the most paranormal experiences. On several occasions, I would hear gentle sobbing coming from the closet, and I would hear my name and random words whispered into my ear. Occasionally, I would hear someone vomiting. Then my dad's ex-girlfriend, who recently died, and her kids moved in with us. They were evicted from their house. Her kids would kill animals and say a ton of creepy stuff, even threatening to kill me in my sleep. I wanted them out as soon as possible, but they were abused, so I was attempting to be sympathetic. But there was only so much I could handle. My dad discovered his girlfriend to be cheating on him, and also that they were a heroin and meth addict, and that's where he drew the line and I kicked them out. His girlfriend was very nice and funny, and was always super kind to me, so I was sad to see her go, but not her kids. The day she left, she gave me a stone crystal used for stress that belonged to her father who was murdered when she was a kid. I forgot about it and left it in a random box when we moved out. I was so glad when we moved out, but I felt like the stuff there was still following me and inside of me. As my dad was unpacking, once we moved into our new house, he found the stone and asked if I wanted it. I told him I didn't. He felt it could be carrying some sort of energy, and we threw it into the field. Over time, I felt the stuff that was following me eventually faded away, but never really entirely. This could be because my dad hung on to some of his ex's stuff she left behind. I just recently found out his ex died, which was quite a shock and very sad, but I'm thankful I don't live there anymore. Hi, I worked for Starbucks for about 2 years in 2 different locations. The one I transferred to was the new one in my town. My town was one of those small towns that was just finally starting to break into the 20th century and get a Starbucks and a McDonald's and such. they tore down an older cafe that Starbucks had replaced. Two, who I have had a friend work at that cafe, and said that they only experienced minor happenings when that one was around. Well, here's what happened to myself and my fellow co-workers when we were closing one night. It was a normal night after closing. I was closing the doors, doing the floors, and cleaning the bathrooms. After everything was done, someone was still inside the bathroom. I knocked and let them know that we are closed. The person said okay, and I heard them wash their hands in the sink. This is a single-room bathroom. No stalls or anything like that. The locks we used were the same types used in the hospitals, being true locks that cannot accidentally lock behind yourself when leaving. Also, there is a motion-sensored light that turns off after 15 minutes of no movement. My shift supervisor cannot do the drawers or registers with a customer still inside the building. So after another 20 minutes, I knock once more and ask if they were okay. I hear a man's voice say yes, then grunts after grunts followed with many bangs and then the sink turning off and on. I live in a small town with many people who use drugs in bathrooms. Prior to this incident, someone was banging on the walls and shooting up in the bathroom not too long ago. Police were contacted and he was taken out. So with that happening before, we thought it was the same thing. We called the police and the station is right next door to our Starbucks. We are behind the station. They never came because it was a very busy night. The motion-sensored light is still on after an hour. More bangs in the sink going on and off. I knock again and let the person know that the police were notified. More grunting. There is a key to unlock the door, but I was 18 at the time. I was not going to put my coworkers at risk. My coworkers and I try to keep closing, yet still be alert as this person was still making noise and sounded in distress. We call the police again, but after just under an hour of waiting for them, the operator says we would just have to wait it out. I'm watching the light under the door until after a while, it goes off. There's been no movement for 15 minutes. My shift calls my GM, to which she calls 911 again for an unresponsive unit because the person could have died from drugs within the bathroom. Next thing happens are the firefighters come with EMTs. Everyone can hear the man grunt once the EMT asked if he is okay, and they are opening the door. The EMT opens the door, and there was no one there. He looks at us and everyone is frozen. We tried to collect ourselves, but I was shocked. There is no vent in the ceiling, the trash can is big but not big enough to hold a person, and there was no way for us to not see a person leave when we just heard him grunt seconds before the door was opened. My coworkers that worked with me that night quit shortly after, as did I. While I worked there, I had the ice bucket thrown at me, food thrown at me, items appear across the store when they should never, by law, be there in the first place. Only a small handful of the original workers from that location had ever stayed. My manager still works there, and she is convinced that there is something going on. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true small-town horror stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton. If you're listening on iTunes or another podcast platform, give me a 5-star rating, as that helps me out even more. If you're new to the channel, why not subscribe and turn on notifications to never miss a new video? I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story that you would like to share yourself, whether it's from a small town or a different topic entirely, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that truly help keep this show going on a daily basis. I would love to know in the comments down below what story was your favorite tonight. I'd probably say, honestly, that last one might be mine. Something about a haunted Starbucks just seems like it might not be fun, as most Starbucks I've been to personally have been pretty small spaces. I'm also just a Starbucks coffee fan. Anyways, if you guys want to support the channel outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, maybe check out the merch store. I've got t-shirts, face masks, hoodies, and just about anything else you'd want. Also, if you're on the go, and you don't have YouTube Premium, but still want to listen to your favorite scary stories from the swamp, be sure to download them absolutely free from iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. And like I said, it's absolutely free and always will be. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the swamp the way you do. 2021 is looking like it's going to be a great year, and I'm excited to see what happens. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.